Welcome to another James Live. Today we have the great, wonderful honor and privilege to have Lucas Miles with us today. This is the author of the book Woke Jesus, The False Messiah Destroying Christianity, and also has written The Christian Left, How Liberal Thought Has Hacked the Church. This interview is jam-packed with details of history about Christians and about communism and socialism infecting and invading the United States and what it is doing to try to transform culture, transform people, transform the church, transform politics, and change what is happening in the world. Those that know who Lucas Miles is, he's a trusted voice all across American church who's hosting the Epoch Times Church and State with Lucas Miles in 2023. Was the program of the year by the National Religious Broadcasters Organization. And he's had articles, both political and religious, from Newsmax, The Blaze, Flashpoint, Fox News, Washington Times, CBN, The Christian Post. So today's opportunity of learning about Lucas Miles, for those that are familiar with him there in Indiana, you know he's an ordained minister since 2004. He's the lead pastor at Influence Church there in Granger, Indiana, and he's the president of the Influence Network. What a great honor and privilege to have you here, Mr. Lucas Miles. I'm so excited to hear more about Woke Jesus and exactly what God is wanting to do across this great opportunity to not only just delve into this book, but what's happening with your ministry, what's happening with the state of the church and the state of society as of today. There's a parallel, compromising shift happening in the family, that is happening in the church, that is happening in the home, and happening across from politics going into rest of society. And I'm really excited, and I'm also terrified at the same time, that if the church isn't waking up, what are we setting ourselves up to with this?
Well, first off, thanks for having me on. It's a real honor. And you're right. It's interesting, but it's terrifying. And I think that it's important that we don't just study this for interest's sake, but we really recognize what is at stake, because this is a pivotal moment in the history of America. It's a pivotal moment of in the history of the American church. I say all the time, look, I'm an optimist. God wins in the end, but that doesn't mean the church in America is always going to thrive. And so we have to recognize that there once was a day when places like Italy and Germany were filled with vibrant churches. We have their buildings and facades left over that people flock to see as tourist attractions. But when you go inside, they're empty. And that is a reminder of a church that was once alive, that really faltered, that was made obsolete in many ways. And so I don't want to see that happen here in the United States. And so that's what this book, Woke Jesus, is really all about really trying to protect the faith from these false gospels that have been presented through critical theory, gender theory, through false ideas about Christ, and really bring the church back to a historic understanding of the gospel based upon the lordship of Jesus.
And I've been reading through this book of yours, Woke Jesus, and so many things, like you said, critical race theory is sticking out to me here. The other thing that sticks out is your definition of Christian nationalism, which is what liberals are trying to destroy here in America, and saying that we are trying to destroy America, whereas we are a Christian nation. They want you to erase the historical facts and completely cancel out people, not just culture, but cancel out people to the point that things don't exist. Like, this never happened. And what I'm excited to see in your book, as I've been reading through this, is exposing the darkness in such a way that people not only understand the political side and historical side, but about what can people do. So my question is, what can Americans do today to stop the wokeness that is coming upon them in schools and their jobs and other places? What advice do you have for them today?
You know, I think it starts with understanding, and we really have to understand why wokeness is here, what it is, why is there such a push towards it? Why are corporations seeming to jump on board? Why are places like Ford and Target and Bud Light and all these different, organizations and brands, why are they moving in this direction? Why are Christian pastors moving in this direction. And so really in this book, Woke Jesus, what I tried to do is to kind of go back to square one, to start with the history of this. And it's interesting because the history of progressive thought in many ways found its origin within Christian theology. That's, I think, something that's maybe a shock to a lot of people. When you go back to this in 1700s, as we're going through the Enlightenment, we get into this post-Enlightenment world. You have the birth of some, brilliant minds like Kant and Hegel that, although they were, incredible thinkers, they introduced a lot of very bizarre ideas and kind of twisted versions of the Christian faith. And that really set us on a course for a faulty understanding of the gospel. For the first time, the New Testament was scrutinized was looked at as maybe all these miraculous accounts we have represented in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Christ. Maybe this isn't exactly how it happened. And so in a world that was increasingly trying to seek after logic and reason and the scientific method and Darwinism after the Enlightenment, it struggled to embrace the New Testament. And so this sent the church on a journey, and it sent the church, I think, in a lot of ways, a downward spiral in trying to stay relevant. They elevated Jesus's humanity over his divinity. And this caused a real void in Christian discipleship, a void in biblical literacy, a void in faith. And this is when we started seeing the church falter in a lot of ways, where the church became irrelevant, and really regulated just to a philosophy. We work that all the way in the 1900s. We see the rise of the social gospel. The influence of Marx from the 1800s gave birth to liberation theology, which is a blend of Catholicism and Marxism. In America, it jumped in the form of Black liberation theology. Again, a form of Marxism blended with some of the ideas from the African-American church in the U.S. And this really kind of, set the groundwork for ideas like critical race theory that would come later. Now what we have, and we're seeing on a broad scale, is we have critical queer theory that is pushing the same Marxist framework of oppressor versus oppressed and using it to divide people, using it to divide the religious vote, so that ultimately the left can continue to win elections as it really seeks to redefine not just our Constitution, but also the scriptures themselves.
So I'm looking at a couple of pages in here. I want to read a short bit that you have in here. You wrote, "Despite all of its talk of inclusion and acceptance, woke Christianity is built upon a system of legalism. While it may be soft on the moral issues, progressive Christianity is rigidly performance-based in regard to social behaviors and the total acceptance of the agenda of the left." And I have to totally agree with you on this, because too many times, if you're not part of the clique, if you're not want to be part of the party, you don't want to get on the bandwagon, you're left behind. You're falling to the wayside. It's about who you know and what you know. It's about, if we don't change this capability, we're not going to have the funding. If we don't do this, we're going to lose followers. If we don't go this way, we're pigeon-toeing will cause somebody that we're not supposed to, or so we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. We got to show love and kindness, and they try to pollute and divide and chastise what true Christ-like love is and come in and pervert it with this ridiculousness.
Look, I agree. I think that this is lost on many people. I mean, this is why I wrote the book, right? Because there are a lot of Christians that are still struggling to recognize wokeism when it invades the church. As I was going around my book tour with my previous book, The Christian Left, what I found is, although a lot of people were excited about the ideas that I was sharing, as we got into some of the nitty gritty of the details of it, they were still struggling to recognize what was woke doctrine and what wasn't, of how do these things line up to really biblical faith. When you hear people, that sounds so convincing, that are saying, well, Jesus was woke, or Jesus was trans affirming, or Jesus would have been a socialist, or, Jesus was a refugee, so therefore we should be, pro open borders, or Jesus, overturned the tables in the temple, out of anger. And so therefore, we should kind of look the other way when we see Antifa and BLM, destroy St. Louis. I mean, these are, these are the arguments that are being used in our world today. And it's basically using Jesus as propaganda to try to justify a lot of these atrocities and horrors, and, you know, bad policies that exist on the left. And you're exactly right. This idea of funding comes into this. So much of this is driven by the dollar. You know, companies like Bud Light or Target, they don't just, you know, commit corporate suicide for no reason. Wokeism offers, ancillary benefits. It offers, you know, benefits through, you know, corporate equality index and ESG and, you know, all of these financial structures and systems that are in place to reward wokeism in corporate America. There are many of these things that are also in place to reward wokeism within Christian nonprofits and Christian universities, coming in the form of grant money or donations from, you know, significant leftist donors that come into ministries. And this is all moving the church and many parachurch organizations, you know, further and further, causing this doctrinal drift away from the gospel, deeper into progressive thought.
And see, that's why this is such an important year of having someone standing up for the faith like you have and saying enough is enough. We're going to expose what this darkness truly is. We're going to expose what's really going on. And not only just that, we're going to tell you how to stop it and bring people back. We're in the middle of an unprecedented worldwide revival. And at the same time, you look at the historical facts of worldwide revival, there's also chaos and discord. There's war, there's plagues, there's pestilence, there's political unrest and upheaval amongst nation to nation and brother to sister and so on and so forth. So at this time, in this dark hour, and this great opportunity, as many people are saying, this could be the third great awakening happening. Where do you see the church going from here?
You know, I think that there's a couple of things that the church really has to focus on right now. I think that first off, we have to make sure that we shore up our understanding. We should be the smartest people in the room when it comes to some of these policies, some of these ideas that are being promoted. I think the average Christian would struggle to communicate what critical race theory is, or struggle to communicate what wokeism is. And that shouldn't be, not because we should be, you know, embracing these ideas, but we should know them well enough to know why they're wrong and why they're unbiblical. And so that's, you know, where resources like Woke Jesus and, you know, some of my other works are going to come into play. And there's a lot of great other thinkers alongside of me in this as well, that have, you know, tremendous resources available. I think the second thing is that we have to recognize that it's very important in our push against, you know, all of these corrupt moral systems and ideas that are being promoted, that we don't lose sight of grace and mercy on an individual level. It's one thing to, you know, look, I'm very strong when I address these ideas as a whole. But if I run into somebody at the gas station or the grocery store or you know, a restaurant, and they're, you know, they're caught in one of these lifestyles, they're caught in some sort of, you know, they've bought the lie of Marxism. They've bought the lie of the LGBT movement. I'm not going to sit there and offer heap judgment on them. I'm going to look for ways to love them where they are and really, you know, show them the love of Christ at that moment, not compromising my values or morals or what scripture says, but utilizing the love of God and the kindness of God in that way in order to hopefully bring them to repentance. So, you know, it's important that our hatred for the sin does not become hatred towards people. And I think that's going to keep our hearts softened for really what God can do if revival does, in fact, come the way that so many are seeking. And I think next we have to also recognize that there is going to be a tremendous need arising. You know, you look right now at this, the trans movement, the trauma that is creating, bizarre family situations and home life situations that many children are growing up with. Children that are being, you know, really pushed and led and groomed to things like, you know, gender transition and, you know, mutilation surgeries and this sort of thing. Not to mention, you know, the things that have been going on for a while, such as abortion and all of this culture, or just even being subjected to, you know, really grotesque sexual behavior at some of the parades that we're seeing, you know, around the nation this month. I think it's important that the church recognizes that there's a tremendous amount of trauma happening in our world right now. And we have to get really good at ministering to people with trauma, because there's a good chance that some of these people are in whether it's, you know, tomorrow or in the next several years, are going to come to the end of themselves, and they're going to come back looking for hope and truth in the church. They're going to start knocking on our doors, and we need to be prepared, ready to minister to them and to reach them in ways that probably the church is not used to doing right now.
That is exactly true. The stories that we can talk about of people that have come out of either the sex industry, or those that have come out of the trans movement, or those that even come out of the political realm, they all have that historical fundamental. Some of them it's a generational curse. Some of them it's the first time experience with them, but they have this deep level rooted of pain, of anger, of anguish, something that happened to them or something that they've seen or heard about that triggered them to become what they are. And I use an analogy of talking about, I don't like beans, but I'll go and eat food in a Mexican restaurant where all of everybody else around me is eating beans. So I not go to the Mexican restaurant because they have beans. No, I want to go eat my nachos or whatever. That's what we're going to have to try and do. And that's like a light analogy, but for a deeper level of this, we have to come up with those ways to show people Christ-like behavior. We need to have those elevator speeches ready to engage people where they're at. That isn't just necessarily saying, oh, you're all going to hell, you're all just going to fall apart. They're looking for hope. They're looking for an exit. They're looking for something that's real and genuine today, and not fake and false. And it's someone that is grounded and rooted in what they believe in. And when you have that structural doctrinal truth of Jesus in your life, and you can go through these different situations and love on people the Christ-like way, people start coming out of this. They'll start questioning, who are they and what are they doing and where they're going? This is such an amazing opportunity right now, church, for us to wake up and engage the culture, engage the kingdom, engage the political world, engage the spiritual world, those that are trying to fall away and those that are confused and don't understand. It is now for time for us to rise up and engage correctly with the faith of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen. I couldn't agree more. And I think that, you know, look, I'm very optimistic. I'm seeing some churches really embrace that. I'm seeing churches get stronger in that. We've actually launched an initiative called the American Pastor Project. The website is AmericanPastorProject.org. And pastors can go there. And we define pastor pretty broadly to incorporate, you know, it could be a Christian talk show host. It could be a somebody who's, you know, writing Sunday school curriculum. It could be a Christian music artist. You know, anybody that has a pulpit, whether digitally, physically, that is touching Christian doctrine. We encourage them to go to this website to sign a statement of biblical orthodoxy, as well as a commitment that you're going to stand against wokeness in the American pulpit. And we already have had several hundred pastors sign this. We actually have our first conference call coming up with all of our pastors here soon. We'll be doing regular calls with the pastors, bringing in thought leaders. Tremendous opportunity. And if you're listening and you're not a pastor, you can go there to see if there's a church near you that is committed to biblical authority and really, you know, operating in historic Christianity and defending the church against wokeism. And you could see maybe if you're already plugged into a church, if your pastor has signed the statement or not. If they haven't, maybe they just haven't heard about it, and you can take it to them at AmericanPastorProject.org. Or if you bring this to them and they say, I'm not interested in that, I wouldn't sign this. We believe this is something that's based on historic Christianity, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. There's no reason why virtually any Christian from any denomination should not be able to sign their name next to this statement. And so if your pastor rejects this, there's a good chance you're in a woke church, and you can use this as a litmus test to see maybe if you should be worshiping someplace else on Sundays.
Oh, that is so true. If people would just realize the importance of standing up for the truth of the gospel of Jesus today and not being ashamed for what you believe in and understanding it, we wouldn't be having to have this conversation today. But somewhere along the way, someone dropped the torch. Someone dropped the responsibility. They stopped praying. They stopped attending church. They stopped leading. They stopped doing what God called them to do. Darkness does not gain a foothold until God says it's going to happen. And many times it happens because someone's not standing in the gap like they're supposed to. Thank you so very much for this wonderful opportunity to spend with you today, Lucas Miles, talking about woke Jesus, talking about destroying this crazy movement that's going across of wokeism amongst America and across the globe, this progressive Christianity that wants to just try and, you know, suck the life out of everything. If people wanted to contact you, how can they contact you today?
Yeah, so they can head over to Lucas Miles, that's LucasMiles.org, and they can find out all about my schedule. They can, there's an invitation thing if you're looking to book me for an event at your church or ministry or anything that you have. Also, they can access all of my other book catalog there at LucasMiles.org. But Woke Jesus is also available wherever books are sold. It's actually number one on Amazon right now, and we're very excited just to get this book in people's hands.
Thank you so very much. God bless you. Can you pray us out real quick?
Yeah, sure can. Father, thank you for every single person right now that's listening to this program. Father, I pray that your spirit would just embolden them, strengthen them, Lord. Bring back just memory of your word and, Lord, understanding, that they would just feel empowered. Lord, for the person right now that maybe sitting in their car, or the person who's listening to this on a podcast while they're going for a walk, Lord, May they recognize that there's a call in their life, Lord, that every single person is needed in this season to live out their God-ordained purpose, Lord, to stand for truth, to resist evil in this world, and to show and to minister the love of God. Lord, I pray that this would be the start of a great revival, Lord. Use this resource, use this program. In Jesus' name, Lord, we love you.
Amen. Thank you so very much. God bless you.
Thank you. You too.